I have something real precious on my heart to share with you. In Ephesians 1, we want to notice what the Apostle Paul said in his address to the brethren there. Verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." I want to speak about the spiritual blessings. We thank the Lord for the natural blessings, the earthly blessings. We thank the Lord for the sunshine. We thank the Lord for showers of rain. Thank the Lord for the beautiful flowers. Thank the Lord for the grasses, for the beautiful trees. I'm enjoying the trees this year, seem like more than I ever did before. I just look at a tree and I go, what a beautiful tree. And there's so many of them. And we thank the Lord for those material, earthly, natural blessings. We thank the Lord for them. But I want to dwell on the spiritual blessings. The spiritual blessings, that's what we need to really seek the Lord for. That's the most wonderful thing that there is for us to experience, is the spiritual blessings. So I got quite a list and try not to be too lengthy with it, but Lord, help us today that we'll see the spiritual blessings. The first one we have is a spiritual blessing of life and light. Oh, yes, John 1. It says here, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Now there's two ways of looking at that scripture. The light shone in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended. I believe the real meaning of the word there, the darkness did not hinder the light. The light shone in the darkness, and of course you know how it is when you turn on a light at night, what happens to the darkness? It's just gone, because darkness is absence of light. And so therefore, whenever you turn the light on, and that's the way it is in the heart of man. We need spiritual light. We need to be enlightened. If people could just realize that. You need light to shine in your soul. Spiritual light. We thank the Lord for the sunlight. Thank the Lord for the natural light we have. But oh, the spiritual light of understanding, the light of understanding. Get your Bible and read about light. What Jesus said about light is a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful blessing to be enlightened. Light shine down. Listen a little more here. "And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light." That was Jesus. That is the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was Jesus. And that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Isn't that wonderful? Have you experienced the light shining down in your soul? Oh, dear ones, light and understanding. I remember one experience I had when we lived in Springfield. I was working for a company that delivered office material, office machines and office equipment. And one day I had a big lamp, nice floor lamp, to go deliver. And the address was out on East Broadway or one of those streets there in Springfield, Springfield. And it said to the doors, The sisters of the adorers of the precious blood. And that's who it was going to. And I figured it must be a Catholic order. So I got out there and I got the lamp out of the van I was driving and took it to the door. And the sweet little white robed woman answered the door and told me to come in. And I said, I've got a delivery for you here. And so I went in, and then there was a younger. That woman was kind of old and elderly, but this other one was younger. And so I said, well, I want to show you how to work this lamp. So I set it down and plugged it in and told them how to turn it on and everything. And then after that, I said, that's a good lamp. And I said, that'll make you a good light. And yes, they said, that's true. And I said, you know, we all need light. And they says, yes. And I said, we all need spiritual light. And the old lady says, yes, that's surely true. Anyway, I got in the car or in the van and took off down the street. And I kept thinking about that. We all need light. And I'm telling you, dear ones, heaven came down in my soul in that van. I'll tell you, the scriptures begin to come to me about light. And you'd be surprised. There's so many scriptures. How many scriptures about light? Jesus says, I am the light of the world. He that believeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And it's just over and over in the scriptures. The light of heaven, 1 John 1 and 1, and the first chapter of 1 John, it just speaks about the light. The light, Jesus just spoke about it over and over. Spiritual light. Have you received the light today? Oh, dear ones, it's wonderful. Natural light, where would we be without it? Where would we be without spiritual light? We'd be in darkness, that's where we'd be. Oh, I thank the Lord for life and for light. And then I think about in the third chapter of John, a spiritual birth. It was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews, saying, came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered him and said, verily I say unto ye, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Shall he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He's just thinking about a literal birth. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. This word here, except a man be born again, the real word there is born from above. That's what that means. It's a spiritual birth. Dear one, that's a reality. When you were getting born again, when you can seek the Lord. And I remember when I sought the Lord as a young boy, not quite 18 years old, 57 years ago this summer, I was seeking the Lord to be saved. I wanted to live for Jesus. I was tired of sin in the world. I was seeking the Lord. I tell you, the Lord was real to me. I was born from above. I was changed and made a new creature in Christ Jesus. Oh, thank the Lord for that spiritual birth. And then we have spiritual water. In John 4, we have Jesus there at the well there. And as he was sitting on Jacob's well, here come a woman of Samaria to draw water. Verse 7, Jesus said unto her, give me to drink. There, his disciples were gone away in the city to buy meat. Then said the woman, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, who am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. How come you're talking to me about this? She didn't know what Jesus had in mind. Jesus answered and said, If you knew the gift of God and who it is that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, you would have asked of him and he'd have given you living water. Spiritual water. Yes. And what she said, Sir, you have nothing to draw with. All she could think was that old literal water. You have, and how are you going to get this living water? And are you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, drank thereof himself? Just talking about that little water. Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman said, Lord, give me this water. And she's still thinking about that little water. Give me this water and I won't have to come back. I won't have to come back here. Jesus says, go call your husband and come hither. Oh, she says, don't have any husband. He said, you well said you don't have a husband. You've had five of them. Sir, you must be a prophet. Anyway, the Lord got a hold of her. And she walked off and left her water pot sitting on the well and hurried into the town to tell the folks to come and see a man that told me everything I ever did. And they came out and the Lord talked to them. We spent 2 or 3 days. Oh, I tell you, he had what was this. Dear ones, have you been drinking of the water of life today? I have. Praise the Lord. I drink of it every day. Into the night, I'm drinking of this water of life. This Spirit, Holy Spirit. I believe he speaks about it in John 7. I believe it is about this water. Let's see if I can find this here. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness to me and his many blessings. Oh, let's see here. In verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly. To me, they don't mean this literal belly. It means out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. You know this can have plenty of water rolling. We thank the Lord in our area where over there live with Enid. About 45 miles north and west of us is an artesian well. It's a big pipe about like that, and it's just shooting water out all the time. It's been doing it for way back in since back in the 50s. It's a well, and that's where we go get our drinking water. We take a bunch of jugs up there, and we get drinking water. It's wonderful. But I want to tell you, this kind of well is a spiritual well. It's something you can have in your soul. Oh, it's wonderful. Oh, I just love to feel the Holy Spirit just bubbling up in my heart and feeding me and comforting me, encouraging me. Oh, thank the Lord. Now we want to notice spiritual worship. In John 10, let's see, John 4. That's the same. He's talking to this woman here. Let's get that. John 4 and 19. Now, I wanted to get some more of that water, and now here's some about worship. 4 and 19 of John. And the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. For we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Dear ones, it isn't old literal instruments and emotions and big talk and all that that makes worship of God. It's the worship of God inspired by the Holy Spirit working in your heart. I'll tell you, dear ones, it's wonderful. I'll tell you, we just come here to this camp meeting last night, and we got up this morning, and we had a wonderful prayer service. I tell you, I just feel like more people ought to come to the early morning prayer. You ought to just deny yourself. Get to bed earlier in the evening, in the night, and get up in the morning and come on down. I remember when I was here in 1950, back in there, those days, the first time I came, I was just a young boy, not quite 12 years old. And this was the size of these right in here. And I remember the early morning prayer meeting. The people were thronging in there, and they sitting clear to the back. I remember that. Dear ones, we need to seek the Lord in worship, spiritual worship. And you can't have it unless you really apply yourself to seek the Lord in prayer and really get out in business and seek God for His, and His Holy Spirit can inspire and comfort and enlighten and bless our hearts. Oh, thank the Lord. Oh, may the Lord help us. Now, let's look at John 5 and 5 and 25. I want to talk about a spiritual resurrection. This is a spiritual resurrection that every person needs. In 5 and 25, verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's a spiritual resurrection. When you hear the voice of God, the voice of Christ, the gospel, and you hear it, and you respond to it, and you believe, and you obey, and you seek the Lord, and the Spirit of God inspires you and gives you life, it's a spiritual resurrection. Oh, it's wonderful. It's real. It's something every person needs. Oh, dear ones, I thank the Lord. Now let's look at spiritual bread in John chapter 6. I'm not going to read it all, but he just had a time in here. It tells about how he fed that 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. He fed 500 men besides the women and children. Fed them all, and they brought up 7 baskets. How much was it? 12 baskets of the fragments of the loaves. And just think about that. And then they came looking for him, and they was wanting him. They were looking for him. The people, they went across the sea, they kept looking for him, and they finally found him in Capernaum. And it says in verse 26, Jesus answered them, they said in verse 25, said, Rabbi, when camest thou hither? Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. That literal bread, that's what they were after. And you know, it says here somewhere, they wanted to take him and make a king out of him. Why did they want to make a king out of him? So he could make sure they'd have plenty to eat. That old literal fleshly earthly food. That's what it was. They wanted to make him a king. Well, if he's a king, well, we won't have to worry about him. We'll have plenty of food. But Jesus is telling them here, labor not, verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth. Don't be so concerned about this literal food. And I want to tell you something. We're living in a world in a society today that's eating themselves to the grave. That's right. They're eating too much. You see it everywhere you go, overweight people. They're eating too much. You don't need all that food. Chump your pill, your belly three times a day. Your body doesn't need all that food. And it's hurting people. It's just no good. We need to be concerned about the spiritual bread. Get this spiritual bread. The Word of God. The doctrine of Christ. The Holy Spirit inspiration. Enlightenment from the Word of the Lord. Comfort, strength, guidance, inspiration. That's the bread that you need to be eating of. That's the bread. And Jesus went on. You read it sometime. He went on and talked to them about how he was the bread of life. Yes, he was the bread. He that eateth me shall live by me, he says. You know, we eat of Jesus by partaking of his precious word, of his precious Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, dear ones, I am so glad that I have found the bread of life. It is wonderful to partake of the spiritual things, the spiritual word of God, to read, believe, and live. Read the Bible. Meditate on it. Get it in your mind. Get it in your memory and think about it. Meditate upon the precious word of God. That's the bread that you need. That'll help you to have eternal life. Oh, thank the Lord. Then we have spiritual liberty in John 28 and 31. Let's notice this here. Spiritual liberty. He speaks about it here. Now let's see, 31. It says, Jesus said unto them that believed on him, the Jews, as he spoke these words, verse 30, many believed on him. And Jesus said to those who believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him and said, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye should be made free? See, they're thinking about physical, earthly, material, bondage. That's what they're thinking about, and be free. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. Listen. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Woo! Glory, hallelujah. It's wonderful to be set free from sin, free from lust, free from pride, free from worldliness, free from hatred, free from malice, free from ungodliness, ungodly styles and fads and fashions. It's wonderful to be set free, free. He that is set free, whom the Son makes free, is free indeed. You're really free. Now I tell you, I'm so glad the Lord set us free. Praise God. All right.
Brother Busby?
Yes.
There's a question here.
What chapter was it in there?
What's that?
What chapter are you in?
Oh, that was John 8. That was John 8 and, John 8, 31 to 36. Now that's spiritual freedom. I thank the Lord. I'm free indeed. Thank the Lord. Aren't you glad to be set free? You don't have to do those things. I tell you, there's the habits of smoking and drinking and all this stuff. I tell you, that's just awful. But you know, the Lord can set you free. He can set you free. Praise God. I remember hearing Brother Abbott tell about years ago, Brother Sam Abbott. He's one of our ministers years ago. He's telling about how when the Lord saved him, he had been he'd smoked and all that. And the Lord had saved him, and he had been so blessed that he hadn't even thought about tobacco and cigarette. He hadn't even thought about it. But he went to a place one night, something going on. He went there, and while he was there, he thought he'd go outside and have a breath of fresh air. And so he got outside. It was at night. And as he went outside, he smelled something. And he looked down, and there was a cigarette that somebody had lit, and it was still burning, and they lit, and they set it on a ledge. And the smoke of it was coming up. Oh, that smelled good to him. He'd really been a slave to the tobacco. But he had gotten saved, and he had forgot all about it, and he hadn't even thought anything about it. But now, it's reminded, and he reached down, and he took up that cigarette, and was going to put it in his mouth, and a voice of the Lord spoke to him and said, "Wait a minute, son." "Well, yes, Lord. I've saved you from that. I've delivered you from that. You don't need that no more." He said, "I don't want it anyway." And you know, he never had any more trouble. I tell you, dear ones, God can set a man free. Are you free today? Free from sin. Free from bondage. Free from lust. I used to have an awful bad temper. Oh, I'd get mad, and I'd stomp and rear and slam doors and all that. I tell you, the Lord delivered me from that. He set me free. I had an awful bad habit of cursing and swearing. The Lord saved me from that. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, may the Lord help us. Let's look at John 9:39-41 about spiritual eyesight. This is, he had just healed a man that was born blind. And the Jews were giving him trouble over that. And here's what he said in verse 39. "And Jesus says, 'For judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they that which see might be made blind.' And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, 'Are we blind also?'" See, he's talking about spiritual blindness, spiritual eyesight. "And Jesus said unto them, 'If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains.'" What's he saying? If you don't acknowledge your blindness, if you don't acknowledge that you can't see and you need eyesight, spiritual eyesight, if you don't acknowledge that, then you're just gonna be blind. But if you acknowledge it, then you can see. That's what he's saying here. And I'm thankful that we can acknowledge to the Lord that we are blind and we need his eyesight, we need his illumination, we need his revelation, we need his enlightenment of the Spirit of God. Oh, thank the Lord. Then in John 10, and he's talking about spiritual sheep there. I think this is so wonderful. Verse 7, "Then said Jesus unto them, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear thee.'" He's not talking about literal sheep. He's talking about spiritual sheep. That's what we want to be. We want to be of his sheep. "All that ever came, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture." Have you been out in the pasture with the Lord today? Oh, thank the Lord. It says here, "The thief cometh not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That spiritual sheep, are you one of God's spiritual lambs today? One of His spiritual sheep? That's what we can be. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Oh, thank the Lord for good, be good sheep. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 6 and 19, and let's talk about spiritual treasures, okay? It says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where is your treasure today? Is it in these old earthly things, these pleasures and money and houses? And you know, there's lots of people, that's the God they worship, is wealth. The money and the wealth of this world. But I'll tell you, dear ones, I have found that's not the thing at all. No. Oh, we have to have a little money, but it's all going to perish.
Right.
No, it's no good. We have to have it, yes. But don't set your heart on it.
Yeah.
Set your heart on eternal treasures, spiritual treasures, grace, love, victory, peace. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Thank the Lord. Now we want to go speak about spiritual treasures. Psalm 16 and 11, let's see what that says. I might be able to quote it, but let's get it and read it. Spiritual pleasures. You know, this world is just drunk on literal treasures. But this here says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, I'm so glad I don't have to go to these old ball games and circuses and all these old things that people going after today. It's just all these motorcycles and, oh, I know that's one way of getting around, but no, it's not for me. I have enough to deal with a car. I'm just glad for that. I'm glad for that car, but that's not my affections. That's not where my interest is. I use it and thank the Lord for it. But I'll tell you, dear one, that's not what I got my heart set on. If something happens to it, it's wrecked and taken away, I'm just as happy as I ever was. The Lord will help us. These spiritual pleasures is just wonderful. There's another one here. Let's see. Psalms 36 and 8. And let's see what that says. I thank the Lord for these spiritual blessings. 36 and 8. How excellent. No. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. That's spoken about. Let's read verse 7. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness, the richness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm glad we can really have real spiritual pleasures in the worship of God. We can be blessed and inspired, comforted and strengthened in the things of God. Oh, I thank the Lord that He is so good to us. All right, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 to 5, we're going to speak about spiritual warfare. Oh, yes, you know, if you get to be a child of God, He's going to put you and make you a spiritual soldier. That's right. You're going to fight a spiritual warfare. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. Oh, may the Lord help us. I thank the Lord for these spiritual realities. It says here, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There's your warfare. You're fighting a spiritual warfare. Fighting against false doctrines. Fighting against wrong thoughts. Fighting against wrong feelings and attitudes. Overcoming the devil, this prince of this world, with all of his attraction and temptation. And we can overcome. We don't have to yield to the devil anymore. We can overcome. Oh, praise God. And then we have in spiritual weapons, Ephesians 6. Oh, that's, are you a good soldier today? May the Lord help us. Are you a good soldier? Do you know how to fight the battles of life? 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the dark rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places, the spiritual wickedness of this world, the wrong spirits. We need to be able to resist the devil and stand against him. Stand therefore, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. We need to get a hold of the truth of God's word and hold on to it, having on the breastplate of righteousness, a righteous godly life, and resist the devil and his temptations, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking a shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, it means a lot to be a good soldier of the cross. Fight the good fight of faith. Are you a good soldier? You girls, you young women, you can be good soldiers for Jesus. You don't have to be soft and easy and everything. You want to be that way, nice and as a woman, as a girl. But when it comes to being a soldier, you got to be a man. You got to be a strong. You got to fight a good fight of faith. Oh, now let's look at spiritual beauty. Oh, my, we're living in a world that people, all they want is this outward beauty. But it's this, and let's look at this. 1 Timothy 2:9. Oh, may the Lord help us, spiritual beauty. It says, in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair, or gold, or pearls, or costly away, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Oh, I tell you, this living in a world as the styles and fads and the fashions, and the women wearing their shorts and low neck dresses. It's sad. It's pitiful. It's bad. It's not the way God wants. God wants a woman to cover up their body. He doesn't want them to wear jewelry and rings and earrings and necklaces and all that. No, that's old natural. That's old fleshly stuff. He wants you to put on the garment of meekness and purity and holiness. Oh, which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Oh, I thank the Lord for our saint women and their godly attire. I thank the Lord. I tell you, I'm so disgusted It seemed like this year has been worse than ever before of women and how they dress. Shorts, low neck dresses. I tell you, it's awful. That's not the way God wants women to dress. He wants women and men to cover up their bodies and dress in modest, plain apparel. That's your shamefacedness. That means you're not trying to put on display. You're just being humble and meek and lowly and godly. And then 1 Peter 3:3. Let's see what Peter. Now, Paul said that. Now, let's see what Peter said. I don't see why people don't read the Bible and get an understanding of what this is really for. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Verse 3, who's adorning? Talking about to the women now, your wives. Let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on of apparel. But let it be the hidden man of the heart, that which is not corruptible. Even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great prize. See the kind of beauty the Lord wants you to have. It isn't that outward beauty that he wants you to show for it. It's that spiritual beauty. And then 1 Timothy 6:5. I want to notice about spiritual riches. I'll tell you what, this world is just charged with covetousness. And it says here, verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment. You're content with what the Lord blesses you with. You're happy. You're satisfied. You're blessed because you have spiritual riches in your heart. Oh, thank the Lord. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Don't you want to be a good soldier for the Lord? Don't you want to have true riches? The true riches of faith and love and hope. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness to us. Now let's go and look at spiritual fruit. Spiritual fruit. Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit. It's wonderful to have natural fruit, isn't it? We thank the Lord for that. That's all right, good fruit. But here's spiritual fruit. This is what we want to get. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I tell you, that's the fruit of a person's life that's godly and spiritual. Oh, thank the Lord. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So against such there is no law. Oh, that's the kind of fruit you want to get a hold of and bring forth in your life. Then we have a spiritual foundation. 1 Peter 2:5-6. Oh, I thank the Lord for these spiritual blessings, spiritual treasures. 1 Peter 2:5-6. Oh, thank the Lord. It says, ye likewise also as living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But to them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed is become the head of the corner. I thank the Lord that we can have a spiritual foundation, something solid to build our faith on. Oh, this old world and all of its vanity and pride's no good. I thank the Lord. And spiritual wings, Isaiah 40 and 25 to 31. Oh, I'm glad we can have spiritual wings. We can fly and have victory over this old world. Let's see, Psalm 40. I appreciate the blessings of the Lord. Verse 29, he giveth power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint, be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Aren't you glad we can have wings as an eagle? We can fly. Oh, that's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Fly above this old world of sorrow and trouble and have victory. Oh, I thank the Lord for his goodness. There's so many things. There's the heavenly things. There's the spiritual rest, the Sabbath day. We have a spiritual rest. It's not Saturday. Our Sabbath is not Saturday. It's a spiritual Sabbath. It's a spiritual rest we have all the time, every day, a spiritual rest. Then we have spiritual fellowship. Oh, and there's a spiritual Jerusalem. We're not going after old literal Jerusalem anymore. We have a spiritual Jerusalem, and we find that in Galatians 4 and also in Revelations 3. It speaks about Jerusalem. And then we have spiritual understanding, Colossians 1 and 9. Spiritual strength, Ephesians 3, 14 to 16. And spiritual health, 3 John and verse 2. I thank the Lord for these spiritual blessings, dear ones. We want to strive for them, seek for them, long for them, do your very best. That's what's going to take you through to eternal life, these spiritual blessings. Amen.